If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes, and if you need a Bible to maybe follow along, or if you just need a Bible, we're glad for you to raise your hand, take one of these Bibles. It's our gift to you. I didn't realize we had moved you guys to the front row today, but I like it. Mike, I like right here. It's free. You don't have to pay extra for those seats today, right? Couple of things as you're finding Matthew chapter 16. If you're new to Two Rivers, if you have been here a couple times, or maybe this is your first Sunday, we invite you to try five Sundays with us. It's just a way for us to get to know you, and maybe you find out a little more about us. We have a couple of emails we will send you. All you have to do is sign up at the welcome table on your way out. We would love to invite you to do that. Try five if we're the right church for you. Maybe you'll find out in five Sundays. If not, it's okay too, right? But we are, right? Maybe. No. Actually, if we're not the right church for you, we'd be glad to help you find a local church here in town that fits your needs and wants. But we do hope that you would maybe stick with us. So try that. Also, I didn't mention, or we didn't mention, we have a motorcycle ministry here called Brothers First. We're doing a pancake supper fundraiser. We have some tickets. If you see a guy with a vest on, Dan, stand up. Show him. See, if you see a guy that looks like this, ask him if he got any pancakes, right? We got some tickets for that. $10. That's next Saturday afternoon, evening. Be a fun night out. I mean, I know it's no Mumfest, Dan, but, you know, it's second only to Mumfest, right? So glad everybody's here today. I spent some time this week with a few leaders here in Nashville, Tennessee. Anybody ever been to Nashville? Home of country music, all that. Kenny Rogers. I went way back in the day, didn't I? I was going to say Johnny Cash, and I went Kenny Rogers. We did that last song had a little Nashville twang in it, didn't it? But we went to a conference for church leaders. A few of us went out there, and so we got up early Monday morning to make the drive. It's about 11 hours with a little bit of stopping here and there, getting gas and stretching a little bit. We checked into our Airbnb, and we drove into town, and we decided to walk from our Airbnb downtown to see kind of Broadway. If you've been there, you know Broadway is kind of the central street there. Not New York City Broadway. This is Nashville Broadway. And that was our first mistake, walking downtown. It was about a mile from where we were staying. And Nashville, I don't know if you've ever been to Nashville, but you ride through the Smoky Mountains, through Knoxville. It's more mountainous than the flatland we have here. And so walking a mile here is one thing. Walking a mile up and down some hills, not really a mountain in downtown Nashville. But I was tired, especially considering it was a $7 Uber ride we could have taken, right? Instead, we walked. So we get downtown, and we've been told, a good friend of ours, Dr. Oxley, who has spent some time in Nashville, said, go to Hattie B's and get some hot chicken, right? That's what he said. And so we're like, okay, and we walk downtown. We literally walk one block, and here's Hattie B's. And there's a pretty long line around the corner to get some hot chicken. Now, I don't really understand what Nashville hot. I don't understand what hot chicken is. I've been to Nashville once before. Honestly, had never heard of Hattie B's, but it's obviously the spot to be, right? And we walked right up on it. None of us were super hungry. It was kind of a long line, so we decided to kind of walk down the street, check things out. And this was also Micah, who was just up here doing announcements. So also his first time in Nashville, so it was kind of fun. I'm not a country music fan, but if you think I stuck out, you should take Micah to Nashville, right? For some reason, everyone kept offering him boots. You know, I don't know what that was. But the cool thing about, if you've never been to Nashville, the cool thing about Broadway in particular is every place you walk past has a live band playing. Like, it's a lot of music. It is Music City, USA. So we poked our heads into a couple places and decided to go back to Hattie B's, see if the line was shorter, get some hot chicken. We walk back up the block, and now the line is twice as long as it was before. So we're like, okay, let's pass on Hattie B's for tonight. That was our second mistake of the night, right? We kind of broke one of the golden rules of eating out in a new place. Do you guys know the rules? My dad taught me these rules as a kid. When you're in a new town, you go to where everybody is, right? You don't try out the new place. right? You go where people are. My dad would say, when you go to a small town or somewhere like a Nashville, wherever everybody is, whoever has the most cars in the parking lot, that's where you go eat, right? Why? Because these people know. They live here, right? And so that was our first mistake. The other thing you have to know about ordering out or eating out in a new place is you order what it's famous for, right? You don't go into Hattie B's Chicken and order, I don't know that they have this, but you don't order like, you know, seafood in Nashville. Like, you just don't do that. You come to New Bern on the coast, you go to the Chelsea or to somewhere downtown, you get something that's local that the people know, get what they're known for. So we continue to walk down the street. We find another place that's serving food, and we get a table. There's no line at this place. That should have been the first indication. And Micah, like, he's kind of a cosmopolitan guy. He's kind of the philosophy, when in Rome, do as the Romans. So he orders the hot chicken sandwich. And I decided, it's not Hattie B's. This isn't the famous one. I'm just going to get a regular chicken sandwich. Keith Saunders was with us. I don't remember what he ordered. I'm also not super all in on spicy. Like, anybody here loves spicy? Like, it doesn't matter. You're going to eat spicy no matter what. I'm not that guy. Like, I like a little bit of spice, but I don't like to get run over by a truck. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not that guy. I got a little bit of like reflux from time to time. So I knew it was getting late. I'm trying to be smart. I know I got old man problems, but I decided to get the regular chicken, not the hot chicken sandwich, not the Nashville hot. So the guy comes to our table, we order our food, the guy comes to our table and says, who has the regular chicken? I raise my hand, he sets it down in front of me, and this one has no sauce. I look over at Micah, who ordered the hot sandwich, and his has sauce on. I assumed that what he got was the hot sauce, and I was kind of waiting for our waitress to come, because I kind of like a little mayo on a sandwich like that, and I'm eating the fries, and I never saw our waitress during this whole time, and I take one bite of this chicken sandwich. To say it was the spiciest bite of food I have ever tasted would be the understatement of the year. It was so hot. And again, spicy is not my go-to. I like a little bit of spice, but I don't want to get punched in the face. My eyes are watering. Truthfully, I am crying. Like, it is literal tears coming out of my eyes. My mouth is burning. You ever had something hot and the top of your head feels hot? Like, it's... That's how hot it was. It's like something weird going on with that. I don't know if it's like some kind of a taste. It's like a smokestack trying to come out of the top of my head. I could not believe how hot this one bite of chicken is. So I put down this sandwich, and I have a moment with the sandwich. I just look at it. I'm like, what is going on? Nashville hot. I'm a true believer. Whatever it means, this is hot. I'll give them that. And so I don't know what I've done to the cook. Like, he must have eyed me coming in. I'm going to show that guy. I'll show you some Nashville hot. And so anyway, the guy who brought the food out, I think, must have gotten the sandwiches mixed up. I got the hot one instead of the regular, though. I don't know who can eat a sandwich this hot. So I look over at Micah's plate to possibly swap out with him, because I'm not eating another bite of this. There's no way I can eat this. And his sandwich is completely gone. Like... Have you ever seen or heard about the movie Gone in 60 Seconds? I don't know what happened to that sandwich, but honestly, I didn't even care. So my whole face hurt. Keith, who likes spicy food, took a bite. He immediately began to sweat. His eyes were watering, and he got the hiccups real bad. Like, this is the hottest thing. I am not kidding you. This is all 100% bona fide true story. I'm not making any of this up. I'm not embellishing anything. That night, I'm laying in bed, and I do. I have a little reflux from that, and the reflux was so hot coming back up, my eyes started watering again. I'm laying in bed 5 hours later. I'm like, I am never doing Nashville hot. It was unbelievable. And here's what made it worse. I thought I was being smart. I thought I was getting just a regular chicken sandwich. I was not expecting... The layers to peel off my face on this chicken sandwich. I wasn't expecting the chicken sandwich from Hades. In my mind, this was just a chicken sandwich, but my mouth sort of disagreed. My mind was not prepared. Last week, we started a new teaching series called Wide Open. And over the next few weeks, I want to think about what it looks like to be wide open. right? Wide open to see, last week as we talked about, like, can we see where God is and go help him in whatever he's doing? Can we see, and can our minds get wrapped around others who are in need of Christ in this world? In the late 90s, Steve Jobs and Apple Computers had an ad campaign entitled Think Different. Remember this? It was kind of directed towards their competitor, IBM, whose motto was Think. Remember, IBM had ThinkPads? Well, Apple wanted people to think different. And I believe that we as believers are going to have to think different. If we're going to make a difference in this world, if we're going to do as Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, then we're going to have to change the way we think. I don't know if you've noticed this, but our culture has changed. Right? We can't assume anymore that most people think and believe like we do as Christians. Most people we meet today do not have a Christian worldview. Mainline denominations have given up on the inspiration and authority of the Word of God, the Bible. The meaning of words like love and grace have been replaced or redefined with words like acceptance and elegance. See, if we're going to make a difference in this world, we're going to have to lead people to Jesus, then our minds have to be open to where we are and what's going on, right? Kathy Keller said, having an open mind doesn't mean we have to open it at both ends. Right? We don't have to give up on the truth to have an open mind to see things as they are. Proverbs chapter 23, first part of verse 7 says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Like, our minds determine and dictate who we are. If we're still thinking a certain way, then it affects how we will live and act. As man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we can't afford to be naive, right? I didn't know that chicken sandwich was going to be that hot. I was naive. But our minds need to be open. We need it to unlock. We have to think different. The question is, can we keep an open mind but still stand on the solid ground Word of God? Can we stand on the solid foundation of God's truth, even in a world that lives on shifting sand? So I think we simply have to. Let me encourage you today to open your minds to think different. There's a point in Jesus' ministry where things begin to turn. There are huge crowds, but there's also opposition. People are coming to be fed or to see the show, to see people healed and see the miracles, but they're not really committed to the message and mission of Jesus. See, Jesus has a heart-to-heart with his disciples in Matthew chapter 16. If you have your Bible open, let's read a few parts of this and I'll kind of unpack this as we work our way through verses 13 through 18. Starting verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Jesus is essentially asking, you know, what do people say about me? What do others think? Who do others think that I am? Notice what the disciples say, verse 14. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. What people are saying is that you are one of the great people. Like, there's no denying that something is different about this man, Jesus. They're saying maybe you're John the Baptist. Remember, just a few chapters earlier, John the Baptist is Jesus' cousin. He's the forerunner. He's the one that went out preaching in the wilderness. He was sort of wild. He was calling people to repentance. And because of his bold words and call to repentance and confronting the religious leaders of the day, even the king of the Jews, Herod, because that Herod had him beheaded. So people are saying maybe it's John the Baptist come back, right? Or maybe one of the great prophets come back, like Elijah or Jeremiah. So that's what they think, Jesus says. They think I'm just a prophet, maybe just a miracle worker, someone significant but not really accurate, right? And then Jesus turns to his disciples. First he says, who do others think I am? Now he says to them, who do you think? Who do you say? Look at verse 15. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? The Apostle Peter gives the correct answer. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So Jesus affirms Peter's answer that, yes, I am the Messiah. I'm not just some prophet. I'm not just some guy doing miracles. Peter says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Not just a healer, not just here to give people a free meal. I am who you think I am. I'm the Christ, the Son of God. And it's upon this truth, the fact that Jesus is who he says he is, that Jesus says, I'm going to build this church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the foundational truth that holds all things together. G.K. Chesterton wrote, merely having an open mind is nothing. The object of opening the mind as of opening the mouth is to shut it again on something solid. Right? You don't, well, some of us might, but you might, you don't eat a meal by just opening your mouth and shoveling food in. You chew it. You close and open your mouth, right? You bite down on something solid, and that's what we have to do. We have to open our minds to get it locked in on truth. Our minds must be open enough to allow others to see our hearts, but closed to the outside influences and ways of thinking that are so prevalent in our world and our culture and even in some churches. So the disciples knew that what others thought about Jesus, but they were not going to be swayed by public opinion. Some thought he was this, some thought he was something else. Jesus says, who do you think I am? You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. So are you willing? And here's the whole crux of what I want us to get at this today. Are we willing to be open-minded to others and sort of where they are, recognizing, right, my eyes are open, I see things as they are, my mind is open to someone else, they don't believe what I believe. Are we willing to be open-minded to others so that the message of Christ will be heard and not passed over? So here's what I think we have to understand to have open minds and approach others. First, some will have doubts, right? That is the world that we live in. When asked, who do others think that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. There were some who thought of the most recent big thing. John the Baptist was in their minds most recently. I think some of those who met Jesus just went to the easy answer. Well, maybe this guy was kind of wild and crazy. Here's another guy who's doing a bunch of stuff. Maybe he's just John the Baptist. Maybe he's come back from the dead. Now, I don't know if they were serious and really thought this, or I think it's possible that they were kind of making fun. Oh, he's just John the Baptist again. Reset, rewind. Here's that wild man from the desert again, come back from the dead. Maybe they were sincere, but to be sure, there were those who had their doubts. Jude chapter 1, verse 22 says, be merciful to those who doubt. Here's the difference. For years, I think in the church, we understand the truth, but we have no mercy with those who doubt. It's great to have the truth. Lock in on that. But Jude says, have mercy with those who doubt. Open your mind to the fact that you're never going to reach somebody with the message of Christ if you just keep telling them they're wrong all day. And you know what? If you haven't noticed, nobody's listening. Nobody's really dialing into that mindset, to that closed-mindedness. It's not that we want to believe what others believe. It's that we want the message of Christ to go out. How about a little mercy on those who can't get their heads around this right now? Maybe someone did not have the same upbringing that you did. It's hard for them to believe. Maybe someone has a sordid past, can't imagine a God who could love them. Maybe someone's been hurt by a church. You know what I hear time and time again? People I come in contact with who are not part of our church or don't go to church anywhere. Somebody did them wrong in a church. Man, we need to open our minds. Show some mercy. Maybe we should have a little mercy for those who aren't quite where we are in our faith journey. You know, most people believe that the Jude who wrote this book of Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. He was the son of Mary and Joseph. You think maybe Jude had a hard time believing that his older brother was the Messiah? Right? Think about your brother or sister. How hard would it be to get your head around that, right? My big brother is God, right? Jude says, have mercy on those who doubt. See, some will have doubts. Our job is to show mercy. Second thing, some, though, will be confused. Second part of verse 14, they said, maybe some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They just didn't know. Some people we meet will be on the right track, but not really correct. They're just confused. What do we do with them? Our tendency is to overwhelm them with what we have learned. Let me tell you how it is. Let me tell you what I've learned. Let me give you these scriptures. And, you know, we want to tell them where they're wrong in their thinking. And in doing so, we run them further from the truth. We have to leave room for God to work. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared to the disciples. Like, get your head around this. Jesus spent a couple years, 3 years with these disciples. He spent every day with them. Remember, we were watching The Chosen together last summer. Like, this isn't every day. They're moving from place to place. They're living, eating together. They're gathering food together. They're going to different places together. They see the miracles. They see what's going on. They believed he was the Son of God. But when he came back from the dead, guess what? They could not get their minds around that. They just couldn't. And here's Jesus in Luke chapter 24. He shows up, and they're there, and they're having breakfast together. This is after the resurrection. Jesus came back from the dead. And after spending all this time with the disciples, seeing all the miracles, hearing all the ways that Jesus taught them about the kingdom to come, and even about his death and resurrection, they still couldn't get their brains around the truth. And look what the scripture says here in Luke 24, verse 45. It says, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. After all of that time, after all of the knowledge and firsthand experiences they had with him, God had to open their minds to see the truth. So maybe we should wait for God to do his work before we write someone off. See, some will be confused. It's our job to show patience. And finally, some will be certain. Man, I hope that, you know, maybe in one of these three is where we all are here. Maybe a majority of us are in this third category. We're certain. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And even when we know, we still have to think different. Why? Well, we have to be on guard. We don't have the home field advantage anymore. There are more in our culture, in our country, in this world, who don't believe than do. Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So even when we have it right, we have to be on guard that we are open-minded to others and allow God to work out the details. Some will be certain. That's a lot of us. Still, be on guard. If I could go back again, maybe I wouldn't have taken such a big bite of that chicken sandwich. Not knowing, right, exactly what I was eating. Thinking one thing and then realizing something else. And the next time I go to Nashville, though, guess what? It's not going to sneak up on me. My eyes are open, my mind is open. I'm not going to get burned again. So as Christians, we've got to have an open mind to every false teaching, every new direction of culture, but we don't want to be open and understand where others might be. We want to recognize where others are, but don't get influenced and drawn into. where others are. We want to be sure that we can keep those lines of communication open. We want to be sure that the way we approach faith isn't turning someone off, right? Let's be aware our minds are open so that others might come to know who Jesus is. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this place, this time. Thank you for just the hearts that are here in this room. And Lord, I just pray for our minds to think different. That we might be aware of the situation we're in our culture, in this country, in this place, even in our city. That we might be available to others as they're trying to figure out faith, figure out who you are. Lord, some will have doubts. There's no question. And Lord, we just need to show mercy. Not overwhelming, just show mercy. And Lord, some will be confused, and we have to be patient. Allow you to work in their lives. Allow scripture and relationship to move them to where they can understand. Lord, some of us are certain. Help us to be on guard. That we might be found faithful. Not only in what we believe, but how we treat others. And how we reach out to others. How we're open with our eyes and minds to share the gospel with the people we meet. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.